Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call this evening. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air with us here this evening. And also, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me. You can find out more about our church, which is the main sponsor of the program. You can also link to the church website for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. You can also find out more about the program. As I said, you can listen to past programs, our Sunday night programs, both the 10 o'clock and the 11 o'clock hours. You can also listen to our Friday afternoon programs, all at livewithpastoral.com. And there's also a variety of articles that I have there. Yeah, trying to think of the name article for a minute there. I almost said programs. And a variety of articles that are there. And a variety of topics. And the most recent one, of course, was our article on pi, as in the mathematical or ratio between the circle circumference to its diameter. And it's a interesting number and an interesting formula. And you find that in the Bible, though some people look at it at first and they think, oh, it's a mistake. And then they see some other so-called mistakes. And so I look at about three different so-called mistakes and how when you read the scripture and you actually pay attention to what the scripture says and what it doesn't say, you'll find that pi in the Bible is accurate, and the other so-called errors also resolve themselves as well. So you can check that out online, pi in the Bible, and there's a variety of other things there. I think I mentioned last week, let me just check on the date here, but we have our whole saga with Bigfoot on there. We had three parts to that, and some people have liked that, so we've got that all there. You can find that all at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer, and we will move on from there here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory. Thank you that we have the freedom and the ability to be able to do this, and that people are able to listen in and call in, and just pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to lift up and glorify Christ through it. Pray that we would encourage believers in their walk with you, and again, the things that we talk about, you might use to help those that are searching, to point them to Christ, that they might find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior as well. Well, again, we just ask your blessing on the program tonight, Lord, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. And we'll jump right into our calls here this evening. We've got Nancy calling in tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Good evening.
And good evening. I would like to discuss, I don't know if this is fake news or not, but I heard a video and an article about Representative Maria Salazar, representative from Florida. She's trying to pass the Dignity Act, but actually it, and she claims it's a wonderful bipartisan bill, and actually there's 20 other rhinos that have jumped on ship with her to try to get this passed. But actually, it's an amnesty bill to try to get most illegal aliens, give them citizenship without really doing too much. And do you consider her a real serious threat? And do you think she has a chance of passing it?
Well, I'm not extremely familiar with Salazar. I just looking up real quick here, and I guess she has worked with Representative Veronica Escobar, who's a Democrat from Texas. Mm-hmm. And they, according to this, they reintroduced the Dignity Act. This would be House Resolution 4393 in the U.S. House back last year in July. And according to what I'm looking at here, it's got several pillars designed to balance security with humanitarian solutions. And eligible undocumented immigrants living in the U.S. for over 5 years can apply for a 7-year renewable legal status, but they must pass a criminal background check, pay $7,000 in restitution over 7 years, and pay income taxes. And it'll provide work and travel authorization, but according to this, no path to citizenship or access to federal benefits. In addition to that, it's supposed to fully fund border infrastructure, hire Border Patrol agents, mandating 100% nationwide E-Verify to prevent illegal hiring. Let's see, seeking to end catch and release by establishing what they call humanitarian campuses at the border for immediate processing and requiring asylum decisions to be made within 60 days. And then provides immediate legal status and a streamlined path to permanent residency for Dreamers and TPS residents or recipients. I'm trying to think what TPS recipients are. I don't see that here real quick. I just run through this real quick. And also uses restitution payments from the Dignity Program to invest over $70 billion in retraining and upscaling American workers. And I guess it's got a number of endorsements in the House. It's supposed to have 40 legislators from both parties who are backing it, and supposedly it's going to fund itself. No taxpayer dollars. Trust us, we're the government. No taxpayer dollars. Believe me. Remember, income tax was only going to be for a short time and only on the wealthy.
Right.
Remember that when you're paying your taxes this week.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
There's some stuff in here that sounds good, but I'm, not really sure that I trust a whole lot that's in here. I know one of the things a lot of people balk at is to take what they call undocumented immigrants. Well, those are illegal aliens. That's what they are, undocumented immigrants. They're illegal aliens. They're people who are not American citizens or nationals who are living in the United States illegally for over 5 years. And instead of having to leave the country, as is the case now, they can apply for an additional 7-year renewable legal status. They don't have to leave. They're already here. They've been here, so they can stay here. Providing they pass a criminal background check, pay $7,000 in restitution over 7 years. So each year they got to pay $1,000 and income taxes. And then they can get work and travel authorization, but no path to citizenship or access to federal benefits. Now, my fear here is this no access to federal benefits. As soon as they show, these people are really suffering and they're just not able to make enough money. They need some federal help, and that'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
I still remember the days when the Veterans Administration was being forced to provide health care to illegal aliens over veterans. And
isn't that awful?
I mean, as a veteran, I can go to the VA, but as a non-veteran, Nancy, you can't go. But if you were an illegal alien during the Biden administration, you could go.
Very unfair.
It's just unbelievable. So, you know, I look at some of this and providing this immediate legal status and streamlined path to permanent residency for what they call dreamers and things like that. You know, there's a lot messed up there, and the previous administration really caused some problems with their opening of the borders and allowing, you know, who knows how many, you know, people, hundreds of thousands, millions of people to just pour over the border into our country. And, you know, we understand that there are borders in the Bible. I mean, a lot of people think that borders somehow or another are not biblical. Well, you know, the easiest way to see that is heaven's got borders.
Absolutely.
You don't get into heaven except by having the right entry qualifications, which means you need to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not getting into heaven. So there's a very definite entrance requirement there. And when we think about that, we also saw in the Bible, you know, with the setting up of the Jewish kingdom, there were requirements and things on how to deal with strangers, because you'll see the progressive Christians, and I use the term Christian in quotes because it's not very Christian. And when you look at what they're saying, we need to welcome the strangers because we're all strangers and Jesus was a stranger. You know, a lot of people forget that the reason that Jesus was born in Bethlehem was because of a government edict that required people to leave where they lived, travel to where their family was from for a census and to pay a tax. That's why Jesus was born in a manger, because the town was overflowing with people who didn't normally live there, and they ran. There was no room in the inn, and so the only place that they could hold up was in the stable. And of course, Jesus was born there. They weren't indigents. They weren't some kind of people fleeing government oppression. They were people who were there because of the government, and then when Joseph was warned of the angel in a dream to take Mary and the baby Jesus and to flee to Egypt, and they went down to Egypt. They didn't go down there in a sense as indigent refugees, because remember, the wise men came and gave them the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that's probably what supported them in their trip and allowed them to go down there and to make that trip. And they, in that sense, when they were in Egypt, they were fleeing potential persecution, and wisely, because Herod had all the babies killed in and around Bethlehem at that time. And so Jesus escaped that because God warned Joseph in a dream. And then when they return back, they return and eventually back to Galilee, where, you know, Jesus worked with Joseph as a carpenter. And they weren't indigent. They weren't refugees. They finally came back to where they lived, to their to where they were from, and they were productive members of society once the government left them alone. So, but we do have some information in the Bible. We have. I was thinking, I was looking this up in Leviticus chapter 19, okay, Leviticus 19, verse 33 here and 34. The Bible says, "And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, Ye shall not vex him. And vex means trouble him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, this is instructions given to the Jewish people. And again, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 18 and 19, he doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye are strangers in the land of Egypt. So we understand we are supposed to be hospitable to strangers and extend, a welcome to them. But does this mean open borders, let anybody come in and do whatever they want? And when you go over to Exodus chapter, let me drop down here, Exodus chapter 12, okay, starting verse 43, the Bible says this, and this is where we begin to see that there are some instructions given to where some strangers are not allowed to participate in every avenue of the Hebrew society. There are certain things that some strangers are not allowed to participate in. And this is instrumental when we understand, because we've got people that want illegal aliens to be able to come in here and vote. People who aren't citizens to vote. Even people who are here legally, but they're not citizens to vote.
Amen.
No, we shouldn't be doing that. And here's what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 43. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. Now, Passover, we just come through the Jewish celebration of Passover. It was last week. There shall no stranger eat thereof. Now, this is important. No stranger eat thereof. I mean, they were certain strangers, and I'll come back to this in a moment. Certain strangers were prohibited from participating in the Passover because the Passover was something that was so intimate between God and his people that certain strangers were not allowed to participate. It says right there, there shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. It continues in verse 45 here. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. So we've got some servants that can, but some that can't. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. Continues, in one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Verse 47, all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And it addresses strangers again here. Verse 48, and when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law, verse 49, one law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. And it's interesting because in verses 43 and 45, the stranger, the foreigner, the hired servant are forbidden to eat or keep the Passover with the Hebrews. But in verse 48, the stranger there can keep the Passover. When you look at the Hebrew language, you find that the word for stranger in verse 43 is nekar. And the word in verse 48 and 49 is ger. And there's a difference here because the neker refers to the stranger that's barred from the Passover celebration along with foreigners and hired servants. These people are barred because none of them are there to become a part of the Hebrew nation. They're only there for a time. They're not there to be a part of the Jewish nation. The ger, on the other hand, they're there, like, remember Ruth, the book of Ruth, she was a Moabitess, And okay. she told Naomi that she was wanted to go with Naomi, and her people would be her people, and her God would be her mm-hmm. God.
Yes.
And so she's actually in the line of Jesus. She is a stranger who would be a Ger stranger because she wanted to be a part of the kingdom. The Jewish kingdom. She wanted to be a part of this Hebrew nation. And so we have people who come into the United States and into other countries today who have no plans of becoming a part of our nation, a citizen, a part of our nation. They're here for a time. Maybe they're here because they're getting an education. Maybe they're here mm-hmm. because their job has them here temporarily. Maybe they're here mm-hmm. because they're a representative of a foreign government or working at their government's embassy or something. Maybe they're here for nefarious reasons. You know, we had mm-hmm. the cartels and stuff that were coming over the border to bring drugs and human trafficking and stuff like that. We've had people who've come in for the purpose of disrupting and harming our nation. See, these are people yeah. that would be like the Necker stranger that didn't want to be a part of the Jewish nation. So therefore, they were excluded from certain things, such as the Passover. And also, I think later on it says in another passage about going into the temple and presenting offerings and things. Whereas those that came and wanted to be a part of the Jewish nation, like Ruth in the book of Ruth.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They were permitted to participate in the Passover, to go into the temple. And that would be like the person that comes here from another country but wants to be a part of our country. And they become mm-hmm. a U.S. citizen. And I've known many people that have done that. And they love this country. And this is their country now. And they yeah. left where they came from and they became Americans. By choice, mm-hmm. and they should be allowed. They're allowed because they should be, because they're now Americans. They're allowed to vote. They're allowed to get the benefits that all Americans could have. But the mm-hmm. person who comes here illegally, the person who comes here without a desire to be an American, they don't mm-hmm. deserve those benefits. They don't deserve the right to vote. They don't deserve many of the things that should only be for Americans, domestic Amen. Or foreign born. Doesn't matter. If you're American, mm-hmm. you deserve.
Well, can I just say?
Yeah.
Can I just say one thing mm-hmm. about the dignity? I wish I could find the article or the video or something where they showed a whole bunch of irate Republicans worried about this Dignity Act, that it was very misleading
mm-hmm.
because it was a 200-page bill, and you had to get to like page 190 to 195 to get to the really bad part of it
mm-hmm.
where they had provisions for an illegal immigrant to become a citizen just if they applied. If all they had to do was apply for a certain kind of program, and they had all sorts of loopholes where illegal immigrants could become citizens without doing hardly anything, with very, very few requirements, and it's very deceptive. You have to read these people that are very much against the Dignity Act,
mm-hmm.
read the 200-page bill, and It wasn't until like page 190
yeah.
that you got to the really, really deceptive part, that if it passed, then all these things would come to fruition. So I just wanted to point out, I wish you could find the article, but I remember the deceptiveness of it and how easy it was for illegal immigrants to follow certain requirements, and then they would become citizens.
Right.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out.
Well, and it's part of the move, basically waving a magic legislative wand and declaring people who have broken the law to no longer be lawbreakers. For instance, I could, if I were, king and absolute despot of the country, I mm-hmm. could eliminate murder overnight, easily.
Oh,
I'll just pass a rule that says that murder no longer is against the law, and you can't call it murder anymore. It's perfectly acceptable.
Oh, okay.
So therefore, overnight, I've eliminated Iceland. Iceland prides themselves in telling people that they've pretty much eliminated Down syndrome children in Iceland. Well, it's simple. Really? When they do a test and it indicates that the baby is going to be born with Down syndrome, they just abort it.
Oh. Okay.
There's how you get rid of Down syndrome. You know, any Down syndrome kids born because, well, they don't let them be born. You know, I mean, there's a lot of ways you could eliminate stuff, but I was looking down through here a little bit more on this idea of strangers, and in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 45, it says, strangers shall submit themselves, and this stranger is the Necker one, the ones that are not there to become a part of the country. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. And the same thing appears in Psalm 18, verse 44. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. Now, this is what that tells me if you want to bring that forward to today. People who are here illegally, as soon as they hear, because they're, I'm more than certain that there's some people that were brought here under false pretenses, and they might have been told that they weren't here illegally. I'm going to go out on a limb and say there might be some like that. Maybe some kids that were brought here that way and weren't cognizant of what was going on. But what does this say? As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient. They shall submit themselves. And they hear me, they shall obey me. So this is what this is telling me. If someone's here illegally, and maybe they didn't realize it, the moment that they realize they're here illegally, they should become obedient to the law. Now, we might have sympathy. There's a lot of places in the world that if I was there, I'd love to try to get to the United States any way that I can. But in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30 and 31, it says, men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. Well, we understand why they stole the bread, because they're hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. In other words, we can sympathize with why he broke the law. We can sympathize with why some of these people came here. But it does not absolve them from the consequences of breaking the law. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. We understand why he might have broke the law and came here illegally. But if he be found, he should restore sevenfold. He should give all the substance of his house. He's accountable for the consequences of breaking the law. And that's what I look at. So people who are here illegally should be obedient to the law and leave. And then after they left, they can try to come here legally. And when you have people who in Congress who are trying to wave a magic legislative wand and take away the illegality of what they're already guilty of doing, I have a problem with that. Why not say, listen, if you go back to your home country, here's a novel concept. I know we're running out of time for the break here. Here's a novel concept. What if somebody was to say, you know, if you were to leave the country right now, we'll even help you out financially to leave the country. And when you get back to your home, you can apply to become a U.S. citizen or to come here legally. If you don't leave here and we find you and deport you, you won't be able to come back in. Wouldn't that be a novel? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Donald Trump started that just over a year ago, didn't he?
Right. Yeah, I was going to say it sounds real familiar.
Yeah, and it's been working. The borders are pretty much sealed, and the people are self-deporting. I read somewhere where people say, well, Donald Trump hasn't deported as many people as Barack Obama did. And yet they complain that he's deporting people, but at the same time they say he hasn't deported as many as Barack Obama, which I guess in sheer numbers is true, but there's a lot of people who are self-deporting because we've been giving them money, helping them to leave. We sympathize with them, but they broke our law.
Mm-hmm.
And just like in the Bible, when the stranger hears God's law, they're expected to be obedient.
Amen.
And so that's the way I look at it. And then we can work, we can set up these welcome centers or whatever it was they called them, dignity centers, sanctuaries, whatever it was. Let's set them up in another country so that they can wait there, and then they can come in when they get their permission. Hey.
Amen.
You can't get into heaven just on a whim. Amen. You gotta go through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate bringing that up for us tonight. And there's the music. So we're going to be taking a break here in just a few moments. And don't go away. We've got an hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can listen to past programs and our Friday night or afternoon programs, our Sunday night programs. You can also link to some of our social media sites there and a number of things on the webpage, some articles and things that I've written, the latest one being Pi in the Bible, talking about the mathematical ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter, and looking at some interesting things with that. And also, you know, I've got to thank our producer Kenny in there for this, because I have put together three parts of our Bigfoot saga over the last several weeks. Now, I've had no further Bigfoot sightings, but I put it together. There's
your umbrella has stayed where it was.
Yes, it has. It has. The umbrella has not moved, but I haven't had an East Coast pizza box out on the porch. And so for our listeners, you have to remember East Coast Pizza is a sponsor of our program, and you can find East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And I usually bring in some East Coast pizza, which, by the way, I just completely diverting a minute from what I was talking about Bigfoot. I want our listeners to know I barely got in the building. I had to get my foot in the door because conveniently the door was not
the
working
not
remotely.
Working
just
again.
Conveniently. Yes. And Kenny came to the door to let me in, and he offered to help me by taking the plate of East Coast pizza out of my hand.
Carry it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he tried to close the door, leaving me out in the cold. Well, it's not that cold. It's 72 degrees. It's 72 degrees outside the studio.
I know.
It's amazing. Well, so it's not that cold. But he was going to leave me out. You know, it's not even raining. What happened? It's a good day today. Warm
and
not raining.
It's a very good day out there.
Beautiful day. But I got my foot in the door, and I was able to get in here, you know. If I didn't have
but
the
pizza. But I got the pizza.
I'm glad I had it. I wouldn't be in here at all. But it's that good. It's that good. And Kenny's already been in there eating.
I'm done.
Yeah. It's all gone already?
Yeah.
That quick?
Four pieces.
Oh, my. Look at that. He was hungry. So, but if you're not familiar with it, that led to the saga. It's on there. The complete saga of Pastor Al's Patio Umbrella, Bigfoot, and East Coast Pizza. And how it all began is part one. Part two is the picture of Bigfoot throwing the umbrella over the house.
And you were able to add that picture to the website there?
Yeah, it's on the website. Nice. It's all right there. And then part three is a valuable Bible lesson because, I mean, quite frankly, left Kenny and I, we would have probably, that's as far as we got, but we had an astute caller who called in, and her and her son, they figured it out and enabled us to put together a really good Bible lesson about checking out what you hear with mm-hmm. the Word of God. So I put it all together, and I've had several people that have listened to it and have enjoyed it. So that's all available at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and that's the complete saga of Pastor Al's Patio Umbrella, Bigfoot, and East Coast Pizza. But other than that, how is the pizza tonight?
Delicious, as always.
You know, as always.
As always. Put it in the microwave for minute and a half, and it's perfect.
Yeah, that's just leftover pizza.
That's
from
leftover
Friday night's Bible
from
study.
Friday night. Yeah,
yeah. So that's an invite people to come out Friday night. You can try East Coast Pizza. Generally, we have it.
Get it fresh,
and it's fresh on Friday night. So
Which is even better.
Yes. So at any rate, we appreciate Gus out there at East Coast Pizza, and as I said, you can find them located at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Give them a call, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know that you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right. Well, with all of that, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, or you want to know more about Bigfoot and East Coast Pizza, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Terry calling from Canada tonight. Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
You know, I actually was thinking about you this week. Our neighbor had their roof redone. And I don't know what company was. I didn't catch the name of the company, but these people came in and did it all in one day. And I mean, it's not a huge house, but it's not a real tiny house either. And just a ranch size house. So at least they didn't have, you know, multiple levels of roof and everything like that. But I was kind of impressed, and I was thinking, man, they had a beautiful day. It was a gorgeous day that they had working on it. And that made me think about you as a roofer up there in Canada, thinking, well, I hope you're getting some good weather up there too. We've had some excellent weather lately.
We've only had one nice day, and that was yesterday.
Oh.
It was cold, though. It was sunny, but cold.
Now, today was absolutely gorgeous here. I mean, the temperatures were warm, comfortable, no rain, just a little breeze, and just absolutely gorgeous day. And, like I said, it's 72 degrees Fahrenheit here, you know, basically room temperature, and very comfortable temperature outside right now.
I found it kind of gloomy here today, but
all the good weather's on this side of the lake right now, I guess. So sometimes it's the other way around.
I guess they're talking about rain all week. I'm supposed to start a roof myself this week, but I don't know. It doesn't look very good right now.
Yeah. Well, I hope you get some good weather so you can get up there and do that safely.
Yeah, I told the guy that I was with, the contractor that I was with, I told him I don't want to work with them anymore. I'm just going to do the odd job by myself, and that's it, eh?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to work that much roofing anymore. I'm getting up there.
Well, you reach a point, you don't really feel like going up and down those ladders, do you?
No, I'm 66 now.
Yeah,
not too bad. I'm still not in too bad a shape, though. Actually, I'm working out a little bit, trying to get into shape.
Yeah.
Better.
I was actually talking about this remember when you're younger and things like that. I was in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 at church tonight, our evening service, and I was preaching the last four verses of chapter 11, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. But let me give you this verse here in verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. And without getting into my whole message and everything, it's interesting that and really in the time in the context here, he's talking about the brevity of life in light of eternity, and by pointing out the youth. You know, he's showing where people can look back in their own life and remember when you were young and in how you were young and could do a lot of things, but it passes. It passes. As you get older, you can't do everything that you could do in your youth. And this is what he's saying. So he says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart and the sight of thine eyes. Meaning, enjoy your youth while you have it, because it's not going to last forever, does it?
Well.
Yeah, I mean, I think of some of the things that I did in my youth. I couldn't do it today. I'm 65 there, and you know, I can remember. In fact, I was with my daughter a couple weeks ago. We were walking. Hinkley Lake is a park here in the area, and just a little ways away from the lake, there's another area of the park where it's called Whip's Ledges, and there's some really interesting ledges and cliffs that you can walk around. And when I was in high school, we used to go rock climbing there, and I was pointing out to my daughter this one overhang that I climbed up, and I had to hang from my hands to get out over the overhang and then crawl up over the edge of it. And, you know, I'm about 50 feet or 60 feet up in the air at least, and when I pulled myself over the top, I grabbed what I thought was a piece of the rock, and it turned out to be something else, and I went flipping over backwards off the edge of the overhang. Of course, I was attached to a rope, so it stopped me before I broke my neck. And I remember looking at that thinking, man, that was something. But then I was only like 16 or 17 at the time. If I tried to do that today, I'd be waking up in the hospital in a body cast, probably.
I had a close call last year. It was lots of snow and ice up on the roof, and I was up there. I didn't want to go up there. My boss wanted me to go up. Anyway, I'm lucky I had a harness and a rope on, because I fell off the part of the roof and landed on top of another roof. No, I mean, the bottom of my feet just touched the bottom of the first level of the roof. There's two levels. So that was a close call.
Hey, that gets your blood, your heart pumping, doesn't it?
No, I didn't get too excited. I just said, oh well. Then went back up.
Yeah.
I'm not too afraid of too much. I don't try to be afraid of stuff. Heights, I wouldn't be able to get on the roof.
Well, you know, you ever see these pictures of the steel workers where they go up on these steel frames where they're building skyscrapers?
Yeah.
They're walking along up there, and of course you also see the people who climb buildings or climb these communication towers and stuff like that, and take pictures of themselves hanging off on the side of it and all that sort of stuff. Some people
were building the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
That was interesting. The last Twin Towers that they built.
Yeah. Yeah. I was watching something too, showing how they built the, what's that building in the United Arab Emirates, down Dubai or whatever. It's the tallest building in the world. And they were showing about how, you know, they built that. And then of course, when you get up to the top, you get this spire that goes up, and it's got lights on it. And every once in a while, somebody has to go up there and climb up on that spire to change the lights. And I thought, well, I don't know that's going to be my job. I think I'm going to do that.
They got a lot of money in Dubai, eh? It's a rich country, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Poor get poorer and the rich get richer.
Well, I do think that a lot of people in Dubai did benefit from the money, because that's at least what you see, I guess. But I'm sure there's people out there that don't have much. In fact, I saw something just recently. What was it? I guess with everything that's going on, some of the Gulf states there are looking at building pipelines that will allow oil to move across them and in some cases tie in with Saudi Arabia so that they can go over to the Red Sea and tankers would be able to fill up with oil there without having to go through the Straits of Hormuz in the Persian Gulf. So
yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. Well, it's good for them. It's not good for Iran, but it's good for them. But it's kind of, in a sense, Iran has kind of forced them to have to do that with they're trying to lock down and mine the Straits of Hormuz there.
I guess Donald Trump gave them a two-week reprieve.
Well, and Vice President Vance was over there, which, interestingly, and I haven't seen this reported too much, but Vice President Vance is the first American official to deal directly with the Iranian officials since before the 1979 revolution. So everything before this has been, everything before this has been indirect through third parties and things.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's good, eh? That's I call that faith.
That's very interesting that they were willing to do that, but they're still not wanting to move on the nuclear issues and control. They want to. The Iranians want to charge people to pass through the Straits of Hormuz, which is international waters, which you can't do by the international law of the sea. You can't do that. You know, if you have a canal like, you know, Egypt has the Suez Canal, well, they can charge people going through the canal because it's controlled by Egypt. It's in their national boundary. It's like the Panama Canal. Panama can charge people going through the Panama Canal. But the Straits of Hormuz, that'd be like charging people for, you know, let's say that the United States decide to charge people that are crossing the Atlantic Ocean. You can't do that. I'm sure Canada and France and England might have something to say about that, because it's international waters. You can't do that, right? But that's what they want to do. They want to charge people for crossing the international waters of the Straits of Hormuz.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well,
it's dangerous right now, though, isn't it?
Yeah, they're trying to clean the mines out. I know we've got some ships there, and I think there's finally some European ships that are going into the area. I heard one time one country that was renowned for its minesweeping abilities, and I'm not 100% sure it's the UK or not, but and the UK has been having some challenges with Russia kind of yanking their chain, running some Russian ships through the English Channel, I think it was, and subs, and they weren't too happy in the UK, but they were just basically saying, what are you going to do about it? So...
Pray that they get that straightened out real quick.
Yeah, well,
you know, there's a lot of people come to know the Lord there. Apparently,
yes, in Iran. They are persecuted heavily, to be sure. But we had on our program, this is several months ago. There's a satellite TV service that they produce material and they send it in North Africa, the Middle East, Iran, places like that part of the world. Just slipped my mind what the name of it was, something seven, I think. It had seven in it. But they were saying, I remember when we had the gentleman on talking about it, they were saying that Iran is one of the places that they're getting the biggest numbers of people coming to Christ.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
Praise God. Pray for that, eh?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, and of course, in light of God's word, we understand that Iran will be on the side of the Axis coalition that invades Israel during the Ezekiel 38 war. We understand that. But we don't know when that's going to take place. And, you know, I look at what's happening, and I, you know, a lot of people hope that Iran will, you know, the government of the mullahs will be replaced with a more moderate, freedom-oriented type government, you know, that gets along with the United States, Israel, and the rest of the world, rather than being one of the world's number one sponsors of international terrorism, such as what we've had in Iran for, you know, since 1979. But at the same time, when you look at the overall biblical picture, even if that happens, it's not going to last, because eventually Iran is going to be solidly on the side against Israel again. So,
yeah, or actually they do. They hate Israel right now.
Yeah, and so, yeah, so there's some idea, because we don't know when all this is going to take place, but there's some idea that perhaps that they're really not going to be successful getting some kind of a peace accord where Iran gives up its nuclear ambitions and pulls back, but instead they'll just say what needs to be said in order to survive so that they can start building up again. I was looking on something earlier this evening showing air flights, and right now there's a big number of flights flying in, American military flights coming into back into the Middle East. A number of transports and also tankers had left when the 2-week ceasefire had occurred. But now they appear to be coming back in numbers, you know, and while they left empty, they're coming back full. So it's almost suggesting they're getting ready for more activity based on however, you know, Iran reacts or doesn't, I suppose. So
yeah. I read a book on Iran and Israel before.
Uh-huh.
And Iran, it was called Iran versus Israel.
Mm.
And, you know, it's who starts it first. Well, I believe it'll be Iran doing something, though. And they're doing that with Israel right now, so I don't know how.
Yeah. You know. Well, and...
But that could be the sign of the end times right there.
Yeah. Well, that's what a lot of people believe, and we've already seen that Iran was more dangerous than what people wanted to admit because, you know, at first, supposedly, they had their missiles could not reach beyond, I believe it was 2,000 kilometers It was kilometers or miles. I don't think it was kilometers. But whatever the case is, they now know they can reach further than that. They can reach all the way to London. Yeah. And that's what we know of. And
maybe even Canada and the United States.
Well, if you were to launch off from the back of a freighter, I know back probably a good 15 years or more ago, they were showing how that the Russians and the Chinese both were marketing on the arms front a container that would fit on a container ship, you know, where they had the big containers on there. And it could also go from the container ship onto the back of a truck or a train. And you would go to the back of the container, open the doors, and you would enter in a code in the panel there, and the top of the container would open up, and a missile launcher would rise up. And they were talking about how these things could be brought in on a ship. It could be sitting out there just off the coast. And if it's in the location on the ship, you know, on the top where it's got access, they could open that thing up and fire right off the coast. It hardly any time to react to it. And this is something
that never happens.
Yeah, but back in the 2000 teens, I guess you could say, I remember reading an article that said that Iran was practicing that. They're in what is that? Is it the Black Sea that's just to the north of them? I forget now. But they were actually practicing with these things. That's not encouraging. You know, there are so many containers sitting off from the coast of not just the United States, but think of some of the big ports in Canada, some of the big ports in other nations around the world where containers are sitting out there because they can't get into port right away. And so it's not unusual to have these large container ships sitting just outside the port. They're not checked yet or anything. They're just sitting out there. And you've got this capability that we've known about for a good 15 years or more where you can do that. And, you know, you bring in a missile that can reach, you know, 2,000, 4,000 kilometers, and you launch it from, you know, just outside the port. They can devastate areas.
Yeah.
So,
well,
but they were certainly working on missiles that would reach the United States and Canada as well. They had the beginnings of that technology, because a lot of people don't realize that the Iranians put some satellites in orbit in a polar orbit, which means it goes over the poles, North and South Pole. And as a consequence, a satellite in that path will cover every part of the Earth at some time. And if you can do that, put it up there and have it come down on the United States, you know, it attacks from above that way. Hey, Terry, we've got a break coming up here in just a yep. short period of time. I don't know that we ever really got to your question. So if you can hold on, we'll be right back. We've got another hour to go, so don't go away. Drag queen story hours in our schools and churches, gender dysphoric men dominating women's sports, violence and anarchy taking over our streets, all encouraged and promoted by politicians, school boards, teachers' unions, even churches. America is spiraling into an abyss of spiritual darkness and moral insanity. Now more than ever, God's people need to shine forth as beacons of truth in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. But what if they won't heed the light? Well, as President Reagan used to say, when you can't make them see the light, make them feel the heat. Unfortunately, many churches have abandoned the Word of God for the philosophies of men, and their light has gone out. The fire has gone out in their pulpits, and they've become lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. They need to repent and turn back to God. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. Don't hide your light. Light a fire. Stand up. Speak out. Vote and make them feel the heat.